We are so thankful and so grateful that how great is our God. Psalms 143 says, great is the Lord. Make a note of this. Psalms 145 says, great is the Lord. He is greatly to be praised, and his greatness is beyond understanding. It's unsearchable. So you got great, greatly, and greatness. And then we know in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, it says God is the greatness. So God's not trying to be great or become great. It's not even a debate. God is great, and he's the greatness, and his greatness is beyond understanding. So you're not going to be able to understand God, because his greatness is beyond understanding. We were talking Wednesday night, I believe it was a Bible study, and we were saying how you can't Google God. You're not going to find him on Google. It's beyond understanding. But you can have an intimate and personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, with God through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just are so grateful that you are great. And in a time when things are so uncertain, where it seems like things change every day, we're so grateful, Lord, that you don't change. Your word says in the book of Malachi, you are the Lord and you change not. God doesn't change. So we're so grateful and so thankful that God does not change. In a world that constantly changes, God, we thank you that you don't change. That's a foundation. That's what you can stand on. That's what we'll be studying this morning, the word of God. It's a foundational word. You can stand on God's word. You can trust God. You can believe in it. Oh, I'm so excited about the word. So let me just go through a few announcements. Want to, as always, thank you all for your giving. Just so grateful and so thankful for your generosity. And you know, we never play games or tricks or gimmicks for money. We just stand on the word of God, which the word says is far more blessed to give than it is to receive. And our God shall supply all of our riches, all of our needs through Christ Jesus, by the riches of Christ Jesus. So we take God for his word. God said, test me and I'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. So either I believe that, or I say how great is our God, but I can't trust him. It doesn't go together. So I decree and declare how great is our God, and I will trust God in my giving, in my living, in all aspects of my life. My goal, your goal, our goal is to trust God. So if you're giving, if you're on your laptop, your desktop, go to southbayabundantlife.com, click the giving button, then proceed accordingly. If you're on your cell phone, go to southbayalc.com. The three bars, click them, give accordingly. Or if you're like me and you're just old fashioned, you write a check, then you can mail it to South Bay Abundant Life Church, SBALC, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B279, Long Beach, California, 90807. And as I shared earlier, we were discussing at Bible study, I want to encourage you to come out to Bible study. Join us. When I say come out, join us via Zoom. The links are there on the website. Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30. It's been just a blessing to dig deeper into the word, to fellowship, to get the insights from the other believers and members and guests that participate in Wednesday night Bible study. Then if you have any needs, any prayer needs, any prayer requests, please email us at life@southbayalc.com. Let me say it again, life@southbayalc.com. It's just been a blessing and a privilege. Family, I'm serious about the privilege it is to pray for others. Think about it. Somebody prayed for you and I to allow us to be where we are now. Somebody stood in the gap for us. So that's a privilege. I have time set aside every day, to talk to God and to pray to God on behalf of others. We have a group of members that are praying as well. So if you email us, you can be sure that we're taking those prayers right to God and standing in the gap on behalf of you, your family, and whatever your situation is. So it's a privilege. Allow us the privilege of praying for you. And sometimes you reach a point where you just need prayer and you don't have the strength to pray for yourself. We've all been there. And if you haven't been there, keep living and you will get there. Amen. So, and then again, make a note that we're still praying and fasting. We have our first meal after service. So just remember that if you can. Since January, God put it on our heart. God just said something is different about this year. So every Sunday since January, we've had our meal after service. So during the worship, we're praying, we're fasting. During the word, we're praying, we're fasting, we're reading, we're meditating, we're studying. And make a note in the book of Mark 9:29. Let me say it again, in Mark 9:29, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out the unclean spirit? And Jesus told them, sometimes you deal with something that it has to come out only through praying and fasting. So with the praying, we have to couple it with the fasting for some kind, certain kinds, certain strongholds, certain situations, certain circumstances, you need praying and fasting. Make a note, that's Mark 9:29. So we stand on it. As we're praying this morning and as we're fasting this morning, we're believing and we're going after the kind that only comes out with praying and fasting. So with all that being said, I've talked way too long. I am ready to get into the word. So if you would, just bow your heads just for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you, Lord. We understand that some things we're dealing with, some circumstances and situations, some wilderness experiences, Lord, they can only come out through praying and fasting. So, Lord, we're praying and fasting this morning. God, we're praying and fasting on behalf of our country, Lord, the leadership. God, your word says that we're to pray for all in authority, regardless of what political party or whatever they stand for. God, you told us to pray for them. So we're praying for wisdom. We're praying for salvation. We're praying for rededication. We're praying for enlightenment through God's word and through the Holy Spirit of God. We're praying that the righteous of God in leadership, whether it's at the federal level, the state level, the city level, God, that they would stand up and be a voice for God, the wisdom of God, for love, for the peace, for the joy that flows through the Holy Spirit, God, for the love that flows through you, Lord, and through your word. And through your saints, God, the genuine, authentic love, God. So we're praying right now. We're praying for change in the hearts of mankind, for that's the root of the evil, Lord, the evil and incurably sick heart, God. We're praying for that to be changed. And then the manifestation would be a changed world and a true change through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we're praying and fasting now. We're standing in the gap. We're praying for our families. We're praying for our kids, Lord. We're praying for health and safety, Lord. We're praying for all those dealing with the coronavirus and cancer and other issues, God. We just stand and pray for their healing, Lord, and pray for their salvation and their rededication to you, Lord. For we know all this is just temporary until we transition into your presence and into paradise with Christ for those, Lord, of us that are believers. So we're praying for all the temporary conditions that it would push us and cause us to run to the presence of Jesus Christ. God, we love you. Praying for our families, our siblings, our kids, our grandkids, our grown kids. God, we're praying, standing in the gap for them. We're praying and fasting for a change in their life. That they would see the world through a biblical lens, Lord, and see it as God sees it, from the word of God, and they would live according to God. We're praying for change today through Jesus Christ. We love you. We bless you. We need you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, and decaying world. God, we need you so much. We need your word. Speak to us now. We open our hearts, our minds to receive what God is speaking to us today, Sunday, July 5th, 2020. God, we need to hear from you. Not opinions, not news. We need to hear the word of God. Speak now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16. We continue on this series, the I Am series, and the sub-series within the series, Singing Suicide and Salvation, Acts 16. And we'll pick it up at Acts 16, I have 29 in my notes. So Acts 16, 29. So we're at salvation. The jailer is asking Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved, rescued, to be free? And they're giving him the answer. And it's for all of us. Although it's for the jailer, it's for us as well. I'll pick up the reading at 16:29. Then he called for a light. The jailer called for a light. And he was just expecting a physical light, but they gave him the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Give somebody the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be rescued? We talked last week. He was talking a physical rescue, but they gave him physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, socially. Jesus Christ covers it all. Saves us and rescues us, tells us how to live, how to think, how to love, how to give, how to forgive, how to be healthy, how to be healthy in Christ. Jesus Christ covers it all. His word covers it all. Verse 31, they said unto him, trust on the Lord, or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Underline that, because that's where we're going again today. The word is just so deep and it's so rich that they spoke to him the word. Underline that. That's what we have to give to people today. The word of God, not opinions, not the 10 o'clock news. People need the word because the word has already been settled. We're going to go over that again today. So excited about the word. They spoke unto him the word of God because that's what changes things. That's what changes hearts. That's what allows us to be born again. That's what allows us to be new creations in Christ, the word of God. So they spoke unto him the word of God and his house. And they took them that same night, them, the entire house, that same night, washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his, straightway. And then verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, but trusting in God with his whole house. And that's a happy ending. It doesn't mean you won't have struggles in your life, but we know through Christ. Family, everybody's looking for the happy ending. We talked about it last week. Disney and Marvel and DC Comics. Everybody's looking for the happy ending. We see it right here, rejoicing with his entire house because Jesus Christ had saved them. Because Paul and Silas gave them the word of God, which is permanent, which does not change. They took him from a temporary situation to a permanent condition through Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. And that's why they're rejoicing, because the word of God is not going to change. It's not like it's going to wear off over time. Amen. Also make a note that the word of God, that true independence comes from the word of God. Make a note that in John 8:36, it says, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so we're talking about true independence. We know as a country, we celebrated Independence Day yesterday. And thank God for America. We would say it's the greatest country on earth right now. And when you travel the world, you see as many issues as we have. And trust me, it's even been highlighted even more. We have a lot of issues in America, but it's still a great country. With all our flaws, with all our issues, they celebrated Independence Day. We celebrated Independence Day. 244 years of independence. But listen, family, underline and make a note of John 8:36. True independence, true freedom comes through Jesus Christ. Not a temporary 244-year independence, but we're talking about true independence that leads to eternal life. And you can have the best of both worlds now and when we transition to paradise. It's not a matter of if, it's when. We all have to transition. We're hoping and praying that it's a lot later than sooner, but it's a date that we all will have one day. And that's why the true freedom, it says, if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. And that word freedom means liberated. So through Jesus Christ, here's the freedom. We're free. We're liberated from sin. So we don't have to sin. We tell our bodies what to do. Our body doesn't tell us what to do because we have the Spirit of God and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. So when we're free in Christ, we're free from sin. I don't have to sin. I can choose to sin, but I don't have to. I don't have to be a racist and participate in racism or any other kind of ism, because I'm truly free. I'm liberated from that sin. And that's the root of it. It's rooted in sin and jealousy and envy, all the sins. And then I don't have to be a murderer. I don't have to be a liar. I don't have to be a cheat, because I've been truly set free. And family, until you've truly been set free, because don't try and get all religious on me right now, folks, because we've all been saved from something. Somebody say amen. We've all been saved from something. And if you've ever been bound in alcohol or drugs or any type of addiction, and then you've been set free through Jesus Christ, where you can walk in a room, you can walk in a setting, and I don't care what they're doing, you're so strengthened and so free through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ that you go in as a light and never have to return to the dark. That's true independence, and that only comes through Jesus Christ. Don't settle for the temporary. Go for the permanent independence through our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. If you've ever been set free, somebody say amen. And thank you, Lord, for the freedom. Because we tried and we lied and said, this will be the last time. And God, if you get me through this, I'm not going to do it again. But when we got serious and we really surrendered to Christ, true independence. So make a note. True independence comes through Jesus Christ and allows you to live the abundant life. So go ahead and push your share button. Those of you on our Facebook Live family, go on and push the share button so your family and friends can benefit from the Word of God this morning. Go on and push that share button. Make a note, because we want to speak the Word of the Lord, not opinions. We talked about it last week. Not anger, not hate, not bitterness, not arrogance, not arguing. Speak the Word. I hope you had a blessed time, those of you that were able to spend time with your family, whether it was virtually or physically. But don't waste time on opinions and arguments and hatred and bitterness. Life is too short. Give them the Word of God. Give it to them in love. And don't get into arguments. The jailer that gave him, that's why Paul and Silas gave him the Word of God. He didn't need a motivational speaker. He didn't need a pep talk. He didn't need an inspirational poem, because it doesn't change anything. Only the Word of God changes the heart of mankind, which is incurably sick, desperately wicked, as it speaks in Jeremiah 17:9. So today, July 5th, 2020, you and I, the entire world, needs the Word of God to set us free. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 119:89, foundational scripture. This should be a meditation scripture that you have. When you're feeling like things are falling apart, you're trying to get clarity on a situation, you're not sure about certain things, Psalms 119:89 talks about the Word of God. Highlight this one. This is one that you highlight. I would even say this is one that you meditate. I'm going to give you something to meditate on this week. And I'm always suggesting 5-10 minutes a day. Put on your favorite worship song. Let me say that again. Put on your favorite worship song. I have several. Some are 10 minutes, some are 5 minutes. And I'm praying and I'm fasting, because it's before I have my first meal of the day. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm worshiping, and I'm meditating on a scripture like this. Psalms 119, let me say it again. Sorry if I didn't say it correctly. Psalms 119:89. It says forever. Okay, underline forever, because it doesn't stop. It's infinite. It says forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So underline that. It's not a temporary thing. It's not going away. It's not going to change. This word, and the word also says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall live forever. So this is not a temporary thing, and it's already been settled. We talked about it last week, and it deserves repeating. When you have a settlement, it's closed. The case is closed. Once it's been settled, you're not going to get a retrial. You're not going to open it back up. You're not coming back to ask for more money. Once it's been settled, it's settled. So here we are. God's word has been settled in heaven since the beginning of time. And since it was settled in heaven, it allowed it to be completed on the cross by Jesus Christ. It was settled before it was finished. And because it was settled, it was allowed to be finished when Christ said it is finished on the cross. And then when he resurrected on that third day, it had already been settled and finished. And he was just already living out what had been settled and finished, because this word forever has been settled in heaven. It's been settled in heaven. It doesn't get any higher than heaven. Earth has to bow down to what's been settled in heaven. We don't have to try and get God to conform to our will. We have to conform to God's will, because it's already been settled. Other than that, that's why most of us, and we're living a life of frustration, because we're trying to bring God down to our level as opposed to rising up to God's level. It's already been settled in heaven. You're fighting against God. You're wrestling against God. And most times we think that our problem is with other people. Somebody listen to what I'm saying right now. Most times you think your problem is with other people, but your problem is really with God, because you're wrestling with God and you're taking it out on other people. Because you're trying to get God to conform to your will, when we should be conforming to God's will, which is in this word. And if you don't read this word, then you don't know what's been settled. So you're trying to fight against stuff that's already been settled, and you're frustrated, and it's futile, and it's pointless. And you live a life of frustration, and you take it out on other people, because you haven't aligned your heart and your mind with God's word that's already been settled. You can't get any higher than God. You can't get any higher than heaven. It's already been settled. The word settled, it means stand firm. It means fixed in the Hebrew. It's set. It's been determined. It's already determined. It's already been established. And in heaven, in God's home and abode, it's not going to change. There's no appeals from earth. You're not going to get a retrial in America. You can just live a life of disobedience. That's all you can do, because it's already been settled. And so then we have to come to this decision. We have to come to this decision that, am I going to take the word of a country that's been established for 244 years? The birthday was yesterday. That's why it's Independence Day. It's the 4th of July. Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying that's 244 years. The scriptures say that God's word has been established forever. 244 years established by flawed men and women with issues, mainly men with issues. Established by flawed men with issues, the word of God established by God. 244 forever. You choose. You make your decision, because your decision is going to determine your eternal destiny. And are you going with 244, or are you going with eternity, forever, with God? And think about it. I mean, I'm kind of a huge boxing fan, and so they always go through the, they call it the tail of the tape, and the size and the reach and all that. So in this corner, we have America 244 years, and in this corner, we have God forever. Like, seriously? I don't think that's an evenly matched fight. I think I'm going to take God. I think God is 244 years of experience, created the world, established by man, God. I mean, it's like, if you're a basketball fan, maybe you're not a boxing fan, maybe you're a basketball fan. It's like LeBron James going against a 5-year-old. That's America versus God. It's no comparison. Jordan or LeBron or Steph Curry playing ball against a 5-year-old. I think I'm going to go with LeBron and Jordan or Curry. And here we are. We'll take the opinions of America over the word of God, and God's word has been settled in heaven. Come on, family, let's make it plain. It's deep, but it's not complicated. Don't complicate this thing. The word says it's been established forever. It's been settled in heaven forever. And then America will tell you a totally different story. And then you will take the opinions of man. And let's break it down. What is a man or a woman, I'm talking mankind, 50 years old. 50 years old versus God. 30 years old versus God. 20 years old versus, are you serious? Family, be careful who you listen to. The word has been established in heaven. I have some read this, so I'm going to read this. It says, a country that's only been here 244, a country that's only been here 244 years has suddenly become smarter than the God that created everything. Family, get into the word and don't commit your life to the temporary. I've already talked about it. When the evidence is presented, when the tale of the tape is presented, do the comparison and choose which opponent, which person, the person of God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, or the person of mankind. Matter of fact, just make a note that God created mankind. And you're going to take mankind over God. You have a choice. And remember, your eternal destination depends on your decision. So it's not like this is something you can play with. And as serious as the world is, family, we don't have time to play with anything. We don't have the option of getting it wrong. We're in the midst of a pandemic. We're in the midst of civil unrest. We're in the midst of it's even more apparent that when you go outside of the house, it could be your last time. You don't know if you're coming back. You don't know if you're going to wind up in ICU. You can't take this thing lightly. You have to make a decision today. And I'm talking about a true and genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, not organized religion that's been weaponized for years by people that aren't even saved and don't even know God. I'm talking about a true relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is Jesus Christ. Make a note, God hasn't changed his mind. God will not change his mind. God will not come down to our level. Make a note, we talked about Psalms 145:3. God is greatly to be praised. He's great. He's greatly to be praised. And his greatness is beyond understanding. You're not going to understand God. You weren't built to understand God. You and I were built to serve God, not to be on God's level, but to humble ourselves and trust God. You're not going to understand it. You're not supposed to understand it. It's beyond our understanding. God created us. We didn't create him. Jesus declared it was finished because it was settled before it was finished. And because the word of God had been settled in heaven since the beginning of time, it allowed Jesus Christ to finish it on the cross. And we take communion, keep that in mind. It is finished. And we do it in remembrance of him. That's why Paul and Silas, make a note, that's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word, because it had been established and it changed his life and his family's life. And with so much going on in the world today, you and I, we have to decide whose words are we going to listen to. Family, we do it every day. We got man's biased, sin-filled opinions. We got social media. We got TV. We got music. Whether you want to admit it or not, you're listening to somebody's words. Somebody's word is influencing you. God's word has already been settled in heaven since the beginning of time. Don't get distracted. Discern the deception and the distractions. Don't get distracted by opinions and words from temporary people who can't even understand God because it's already been settled. God's greatness is beyond our understanding. So you're not going to understand God. So all they can give you is a bunch of gobbledygook garbage because they can't understand God. And our minds are finite and God is infinite. God left us the blueprint, the map, his word to live by. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, the word can say it a little bit better than I can. Let's go to 1 John 5:7. And then we're going to get into the word, and where we stop, and then we'll pick it up next week. 1 John 5 and 7. Make a note of this. Go on and push that share button as we get into the word, so your friends and family, Facebook, can benefit from the word of God. They don't need opinions this morning. We don't need opinions. We need the word of God. We need something that's going to change our life. We need something that's going to change our heart. Something that's going to change our world. We need more than a news feed. We need more than a social media page. We need the word of God. We need more than opinion from somebody who's only been here 50, 60 years or 20 years. 1 John 5, 7. Make a note of this. This is the heavenly Supreme Court, in case you didn't know. It says, for there are three that bear record. There are three that bear witness in heaven. There are three that created heaven, earth, and everything. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Ha ha! That's why they gave him the Word, because the Word's been there. Oh, family, I'm so excited about the Word of God this morning. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So when it was settled in heaven, it was settled by the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us now. When we surrender our heart and life and say, God, lead me. Give me your wisdom. The Holy Spirit leads and guides you. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. It's no law against that. If the whole world operated according to the power of the Holy Spirit, we would change overnight. There would be no type of isms. Because it's been settled in heaven and it bears record in heaven. Family, hear what I'm saying. That's why they gave him the word. That's why we ask God to guide us through his Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 gives you the fruit of the Spirit. Husbands, when you're interacting with your wife, interact with the fruit of the Spirit. It changes your whole household. Wives, when you're interacting with your husbands, interact according to the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, it changes. As we interact, parents, as you interact with your kids, interact with the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering is one of them, which means you get not only patience, you got to be very patient with your kids, your grown kids too. And the love, make a note, 1 Corinthians 13 explains love better than any song or any book ever could, what love is and what it isn't. And then Paul goes on to continue in 1 Corinthians 13 and says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became grown up, I put away childish things. It's the word of God. We got to put away all the hate, the bitterness, the finger pointing. It's all a symptom we talked about of the systemic sin that we are in. We have to grow up in the word of God. That's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word. It's the only thing that changes. It's already been established in heaven. The word was in heaven. Made the decision and it's settled. The Holy Spirit was in heaven. Now it lives in us. We do have a choice because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us via the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That's why he told him in Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't stress the Holy Spirit out. Do the right things. You can live right. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things are possible to them that believe. It takes a lot of effort, family. It takes a lot of practice. Those of you that are athletes or musicians, you practice daily on your craft to become the best. It's no different in this Christian life. You practice daily the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God. And trust me, if you have anybody in your house, in your sphere of friendship and circle of network, you have the opportunity every day to practice the love of God. The peace of God, the kindness of God, the long-suffering of God, the self-control of God. Every day, It's about practicing this thing. Don't make it complicated. It's not mystical or magical. It's practice. Practice loving your kids. Practice loving your spouse. Practice being long-suffering with your siblings. Practice being long-suffering with your parents. Practice, practice, practice with your employees, with your coworkers. You practice every day. You let your light shine. You be the light in the room. You practice it every day. That's how you get good at it. And after a while, it becomes a habit, and folks want to know what's different about you. And then just like Paul and Silas, the jailer wanted to know, what's different about you guys? Then they gave him the word. And then when they ask you, what's different about you? Give them the word. Say, Jesus Christ has changed my life. He can do the same for you. It's already been settled in heaven. Oh, I love God's word. I'm excited about the solution, not the sin that the world is in, but the solution we have to break the curse of sin through Jesus Christ. Family, make a note. The three that bear witness in heaven, the three that bear record in heaven, are the only ones that you and I need to try and impress. Let me say that again. You're wasting your time trying to impress mankind with how intelligent you are and how smart you are and how gifted you are and how you can manipulate and connive and do all these other things. And how much money you can make and how much your net worth and network and all. You're wasting your time. There's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And that's the only one or three that you need to be trying to impress, that you and I need to be trying to impress. As a pastor, if I'm up here trying to impress you all, I've wasted my time. I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to give it to you with passion and with conviction. You better believe it. But I know my audience is God. When I transition, I got to stand before God. And God's going to either judge me based on my heart being real or being fake. I'm only trying to impress God this morning. I'm trying to communicate effectively with you, but I know my ultimate audience are those three that are in heaven and those three that are one. That's already settled it and called me to preach the gospel. So don't get caught up. Love people, pray for people, but don't try and put on a show for people. God's made it clear. Make a note. 1 Samuel, oh, I forget the chapter, but it says that man looks on the outward appearance. When David was being anointed, it said man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So don't try and impress people. They're looking at your outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So that throws all the racism and stuff out of the way. Let me find that because we need to turn there. Because we're having a lot of issues with race. And anyone dealing with race and judging someone else by the color of their skin cannot be a Christian. Well, maybe you can, but you haven't read the word of God. You can be an immature Christian, I guess. You're still on an immature level. So if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. So I'm throwing an audible this morning. We'll get back. But this is the word. And with everything going on today, family, we can't get caught up. Remember, it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. God made it clear. Let's start with 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 6, God has told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse because he selected a king. Jesse has, what, seven sons, and David made eight, all the sons paraded through, and Samuel's trying to choose the right one. God speaking directly into his ear. We pick it up at verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is right here. He looked at him. He looked at his skin. He looked at his height. He looked at his build. He looked at his physical characteristics and said, surely God is with him. everything that we see. And then God checked him in verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Stop looking at people's skin color. What is wrong with you? Or in the height of their stature, because I have refused him, I've rejected him. You can't tell if somebody's connected to God by looking on the outside. And then God says, take a note. For the Lord doesn't see as man sees. Underline that, make a note of that. Remember, God's greatness is beyond our understanding. We're down here, it shows just how separate and how different we are from God. We want to look at people's skin color and judge them. God makes it clear, you're not on my level. You need to get there, but you're not there. Man doesn't see as God sees. God doesn't see. We don't see the same. We don't think the same. We're not on the same level. You're dealing with minor stuff. Temporary stuff. I'm dealing with permanent stuff. I'm trying to get souls saved to be with me in paradise, and you're looking at somebody's skin color. You're shallow, and God's word isn't. God makes it clear. Don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's what God is. If I'm trying to judge someone based on what I see, that shows I'm really not connected to God at all. Look at people through the biblical lens. It's been settled in heaven. God is not going to change. God is not going to start judging people. And any one of us who calls ourselves a Christian, we need to repent and resist any form of racism or bias on anyone. God doesn't see that. God looks at their heart. Just like God looked at our heart and saw it was sick. And we need to look at hearts and see that they're incurably sick. Not at skin. Everyone's a candidate to be saved. Remember, Paul and Silas, they didn't allow this jailer to kill himself. And he was a part of the establishment. He was a part of the corrupt system. They said, man, don't do yourself any harm. And they gave him a light. Then they gave him the word, and it changed his life. Family, until we give them the light of Christ and we give them the word, people aren't going to change. That's the only thing that changes a heart, which changes a mind. Remember, your heart tells your mind what to do. It's the only thing that changes a heart, which changes a mind, which changes a life, which changes a society. Don't fight symptoms. Get to the root of the issue. All right, go ahead. Let's keep going in the word. Remember, God is the only one that you and I should be trying to impress, because God's looking right at the heart. Amen. That's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word of God. Everything else is a distraction and a subtraction from the plan and purpose that God has for your life. Everything else outside of the word of God is a distraction and a subtraction from the plan and purpose for your life. All right, let's go on and let me see what time. We got a few minutes. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15 and 16, it talks about the word. That's why Paul and Silas gave him the word. Look what Jeremiah says about the word. Family, outside of the word, I can give you opinions and other things, but until I give you the word of God, it's going to be no change. That's why I give you the word. That's why we study the word. That's why we stand on the word. And make a note, the word, there's other words in the Bible used for it. The Torah, for example, is what the Jewish Old Testament, the first five books of the law, and even the entire Old Testament is called the Torah. It's the word of God. Precept, statutes, commandments, they're all synonymous with the word of God. So you look up the word, the word, it gives you commandments, the Torah, precept, also gives you the word prescription. So it's like the Word of God is like medicine. Isn't it something? We'll listen to the doctor before we listen to God. Because the doctor says, you take this, you take this, you take this, and we got our phone set. The timer goes off, we take it every day, morning, night, however it's prescribed for you. God said, my word is that to you. My word is a prescription to allow you to live and have abundant life. And the word is, God is the word. So it's not for God, it's for us. And the word prevents us from self-destructing. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of rules. It's a guideline saying, look, I've created you in such a way that if you live according to the word, you won't self-destruct. Because you have an adversary, you have an enemy who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try and influence you to do everything contrary to the word. So you got to live according to the word so you can stand against the tricks and the schemes of the enemy. If you don't know the word, you can't stand. Look what Jeremiah says about the word. Speaking of a prescription, 15:16, Jeremiah says, your word was found and I did eat them. So you see, it's a prescription. You eat the word of God. Metaphorically speaking, you study, you meditate on it, you let it sink into your heart, your mind, and your life, and then it becomes a habit to live according to the word of God. Jeremiah said, man, I loved your word. I ate it up. I studied your word. I meditated on your word. Then I was able to live your word. I practiced your word, and it became a habit. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Your word was found, and I did eat them. And then look what he says. And he says, your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Underline heart. Underline joy and rejoicing. The word allows us to rejoice. Once we eat it, once we start applying it to our life, once we start living it, we start practicing it, we find the joy. In Nehemiah, make a note, in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jeremiah is saying the word was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, because it all starts in the heart. Brother Clarence, we talk about it all the time. You know that. It always comes back to the heart. So the word has to get into your heart. Remember, because your heart tells your mind what to do. If your heart is corrupt, then your mind's going to be corrupt, because your heart's going to tell your mind to do some crazy stuff. Why is it so much craziness in the world? Because hearts haven't been converted. Your heart's telling you to be arrogant, to be selfish, to be a murderer, to be a slanderer, to act crazy. And because you don't have the word of God in your heart, you don't have the spirit of God in your heart, then you do what your heart says, and it's ugly. Look at the world today. There's some ugly stuff going on because there are some ugly hearts, because it always comes back to the heart. So Jeremiah said, I found God's word and I ate it up and I lived it, and it allowed my heart to be filled with joy and rejoice because of God's word. That's why Paul and Silas gave the jailer the word, because he needed true joy. He's getting ready to kill himself. He needed true joy. And they gave him the word, and it was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart and his family. And that's when they sat down. And what did they say? They sat down rejoicing. Why? Because of the word in Christ. Let me finish this thought, and then we'll go ahead and get into communion, and we'll rejoice because of God's word. So here's the revelation. No word, no joy, and no strength. Let me say it again. Make a note. If you're not into the word, there's no joy, no strength. There's no permanency to it. It's all temporary. So God is saying, get into the word. The word says, get into the word. The Holy Spirit is saying, get into the word. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till next week, because there's so much more to God's word. Speaking of God's word, let's go ahead and take communion, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It's going to take communion. Get your sacraments, your crackers, your juice, your crackers, your wine, however you roll. And we know that Jesus and the disciples, they did have crackers and wine. You're in the comfort of your own home, and just don't overdo it. Somebody say amen. Just don't overdo it. Enjoy the communion. Understand what it's about. It's about the Word of God. Look at verse, it's 1 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 23. This is Paul speaking again. He says, "For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed," underline that, the same night in which he was betrayed, that same night, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, verse 24, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. I mean, it almost doesn't even make sense, but that's our God. Remember, he's beyond our understanding. What's beyond our understanding? That he can be betrayed and give thanks. Come on, family, somebody help me out. Take off your religious hat for a minute, okay? Take off that hat. That's beyond our understanding, that on the same night that I'm betrayed, some kind of way I can give thanks. That's why God's beyond our understanding. But he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And look, this is the word. It's already been settled in heaven. Why do we take communion? Because the word says so. Because it's already been settled in heaven. Because Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He said, look, there's going to come a time in your life when there's going to be coronavirus, there's going to be cancer, there's going to be unrest, there's going to be injustice, there's going to be all kind of stuff. It's going to be death and births and marriage and divorce and all kind of stuff going on, heartbreaks, disappointments. And he said, you better pause and do this in remembrance of me, how my body was broken for you, and be a reminder that I'm coming back for you. Don't get overwhelmed by this world. Pause, put back on your biblical lenses and realize that I died for you. It's finished. It's already been established in heaven. And matter of fact, I'm coming back for you because the word says so. It's already been settled. He's coming back for us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. That's why we take communion, because the word says so. Why do we keep the Sabbath day? Because God said, you need to understand, you need to stop and understand at least one day a week that you got to devote your heart and your thoughts to me. And you need to rest, because this world will wear you out and have you so wrapped up in the temporary, you forget about the permanent. I remember being in Jerusalem in 2008, downtown Jerusalem, on Friday night. Hear me, folks. And it was the Shabbat, or the Sabbath. I'm in Jerusalem. I just happened to be there that Friday night. How beautiful was that? And they shut down everything from 5:30 Friday to 5:30 Saturday. Let me say it again. Everything was shut down. And here's the premise. You spend time with God and your family for the day. For 24 hours, everything that you say that you love and mean the most, that you working yourself into an early grave for, God said, pause and spend time with them. Why do they take the Sabbath? Why do we celebrate the Sabbath day? Because God said so. And the word has already settled it in heaven. Slow down. And remember what God has done for you. Remember what's important. Now, here we are. Christ said, now I need you to take communion. I need you to remember that I died for you. I resurrected for you, and I'm coming back for you. So if you would, go ahead and elevate that which represents his body. Lord, we thank you that your body was broken for us. And you said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget it. We're believers. We're Christians now because the power of the Holy Spirit touched our life. God chose us and changed their life. You say, well, how do you know God chose you? If you've accepted Christ, that's not complicated. God's chosen you. If you haven't, then invite Christ into your heart and you realize you have been chosen by God. You don't have to be a member to take communion, Facebook family. All you have to do is be someone who's accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior because you're part of the body of Christ. Elevate that which represents his body and go in and eat it. Then as we read in verse 25, it says, after the same manner also, Christ took the cup, he drank some and said, this is the cup, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or you do proclaim. We're saying Christ died and resurrected. We're proclaiming that by taking communion until he comes again. When he comes again, we don't have to do it because we'll be with him. But right now we do it in remembrance of him. Christ will never forget what you did for us. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Christ had to die so we could live and have access to eternal life in paradise. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he told the thief, today you should be with me in paradise. So it's completed. We have forgiveness and we have access to paradise through Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget it. As this world seems to be falling apart because it's temporary, stand on the word of God, which never changes and which has been settled. Let me say it again. As things fall apart, remember, forgiveness is finished. It's paradise through Jesus Christ. And if you're thinking and you know that you have something against someone, it's some unforgiveness in your heart, go on and repent of that. Because the word is clear. If we can't forgive others, how can we stand before God and say, God, I want you to forgive me and I couldn't forgive others? We got to forgive. It's part of the Holy Spirit. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they wronged me. Well, I know how they wronged. I know how we, our sins wronged Christ. And he was innocent. And if I were to sit down and talk with you, I guarantee you, as we go through your history, you're not innocent. And Christ was. And Christ forgave us. So you got to forgive them. Other than that, you're making yourself greater than God, which is a whole nother issue. That Christ can forgive being innocent and being God. And you can't, being flawed with an incurably sick heart that only God can heal. We need to talk about your salvation if that's the case. Doesn't matter what they did. What matters is what Christ has already done and has been settled and it is finished. God, help us to forgive. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us not be selfish or arrogant or self-righteous. But allow us to forgive, just like you forgave us for all the atrocities and sin and everything else that we've done. You removed it as far as the east is from the west. You've cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore. So God, let us examine our heart. If there's anyone that we need to forgive or let go, Lord, allow us to do it. Give us the strength to do it. Give us the heart set and the mindset to do it. Because we can't stand before you with any unforgiveness or bitterness in our heart, making ourselves greater than you. So we humble ourselves, we repent, we ask forgiveness, and we take this communion in remembrance of you. Even so, come now, Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, come now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Wow, family, it's the first Sunday in July. The year is moving. The days are going by. I just want to encourage you to go ahead and just continue to practice living for God daily. Remember Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. It's right there. Conduct your life, conduct your relationships based on the fruit of the Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Never, if you send me an email, if you find anything that's on the level of the type of love that's expressed in 1 Corinthians 13, I've never seen it. It is incredibly powerful and is settled in heaven. Maybe you didn't participate in communion because you say, I'm not a Christian. I've never accepted Christ into my heart. Well, we can change that right now. Repeat after me, dear Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for resurrecting on that third day. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Right now, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that bears record in heaven with the Word and with the Father. Fill me with that Spirit. Give me your wisdom, Lord. Give me the strength to live for you. Lord Jesus, show me why you created me. You created me. It was settled in heaven. Psalms 139, you said I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Show me how. Show me my purpose in you. I want to live for you now. I want to be born again through Jesus Christ. I accept you into my heart and into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Not organized religion, a true and genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you want more information, which you should, please send me an email at life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. For those of you that are rededicating your life, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read the scriptures. We've been on it for maybe a couple of weeks. We went over there as none righteous, no, not one. Hard works are filthy rags. We can't work our way to heaven. We have to accept the free gift. And then because we are saved, we live righteously because we are saved. You don't try and live righteously to impress God to be saved. That's not what the Word teaches. The Word teaches us that we accept the free gift of salvation. Then we confess our sins, and then we live righteously because we are saved and let our light shine. So if you're rededicating your life, especially, look, we're going into July, the second half of the year. I think it's a great time to rededicate our lives, all of us, to Jesus Christ. So Lord, forgive us of our sins. And we thank you that you're faithful and just, and your Word says that you will. I want to rededicate our life going from July all the way through the end of the year. I want to walk with you and talk with you and run to you and not from you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, family, I want to thank you for joining us. Communion Sunday, the Word of God. If you have any prayer requests, life@southbayalc.com. Please send them in. Any requests, any suggestions, recommendations, needs, email us. We'd love to hear from you. We're so grateful to hear from you. And then please join us. I'd love to sit and chat with you on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30. It's just like a biblical fireside chat. We just chat around the Word of God, share the insights, read 2 Samuel chapter 17, and be prepared for a Wednesday night. It's just an incredible study, and I'm excited about it. And then last but not least, I just want to thank you all again for your giving. Those of you Facebook family that's been making donations, we appreciate it. There's no amount too large or too small. It all helps for us to get the Word out to a lost and dying world, and it's much appreciated. We have ministries that are going out around the world. We have a ministry that's touching lives in 136 countries, and that's because of your giving. And as the world is falling apart, it's our job to get the Word out so folks can be saved and be lights, whatever country they're in, whatever they look like, whatever their language is, whatever their skin pigmentation is. It doesn't matter because God doesn't look at the outside. God looks at the heart. So thank you for your giving. Thank you for being a part of the solution of Jesus Christ as we combat the sin of the world. So I'm grateful that you joined us this morning. I love you. Facebook family, I miss you. South Bay Abundant Life family, I love you. I miss you. Missed our hugs and our squeeze. Be praying that one day we can all come back together and high five and sing and worship and hug and love on each other. But until then, be safe and you practice your social distancing, wear your mask. Be praying for us. And then let's use this medium of live stream to take the gospel to the whole world. And that's where God has us right now for such a time as this. And let's walk in it. And let's do it together. Just lift your hands. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly, a complete, extraordinary life through Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Facebook family, Zoom family, South Bay Abundant Life, church family, friends, guests, and visitors. I love you so much. I miss you. Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed weekend. Please be safe. Amen.